All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to On Tap Episode 2. How about that intro, Brian?
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah. And this, by the way, I think now we can say this is a podcast.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a podcast.
Go ahead and tell everybody where the platforms that we can find it at.
Yeah, so it's now on Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. I mean, it's wherever podcasts are available, we now are there.
I don't know how I'm back, because last week, I touched on it how many times. I won't be back.
Yeah. There was a lot of cursing.
You got me back. I mean, you said no, not a podcast. I didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
That's a podcast.
Well, it was a series. Last week, but because of your cursing, we ended up being a podcast, so that worked out well.
You listen to Rogan, they cuss left and right. Yeah. It happens. Yeah, like I said, on podcasts, it happens, which this is, so I think I got freedom of speech.
Yeah. Let's go. That's good. So we're here today to just kind of, you know, take the next step. We talked about it last podcast that... We're going to speak on our announcing crew for the Icebreaker coming up. And the Icebreaker, I think, has a lot of cool things that we're going to talk about during this. We're going to try to bring it back a little bit time-wise, but I can't tell. The way we've got it figured out is that we've got no restrictions on what day we put this out, how many minutes it is.
Episode 1 was slated to be 15 minutes, so everyone knows.
52 minutes is exactly
minutes
what
later.
It is.
Like SpongeBob popped up 52 minutes later.
Yep. So, but let's go ahead and get into the thing that I think a lot of people have been interested in. I've gotten a lot of texts, a lot of calls. Is it this guy? Is it that guy? Who's the
First
broadcast?
And foremost, we're talking about the 10th annual.
Actually.
We touched on
tenth,
it last week.
10th annual.
I mean, 10 years of doing this.
10 years. And I think this is going to be the best one.
I think it started in the same platform at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Carolina Forest.
Yeah. Playing trivia. But I think this might be the best one though. You know, when it comes to the broadcast, the crew that we're about to put forth. So you know, with no further ado, we're gonna just announce it. Now we've got actually a moment. We're gonna speak to one of them, which we'll get into in a minute. But this year's 2025 10th annual Icebreaker is going to be hosted by none other than Steve Post, MRN. You've seen him on NASCAR NBCs. I mean, he's been around the business for a long time.
If you haven't seen him, you definitely heard him.
Yeah.
It's a voice that's synonymous with NASCAR racing and racing in general.
Yep. So Steve Post has been a family friend of ours, mine, for a long time. He used to announce all the races at my dad's track back up in New York when Dad was running dirt, Penn Can and 5 Mile, you know, our upstate roots. I consider myself more a southerner than I do an upstate guy. I've been down in the south more than I have ever been up north. But Steve was up there to start. He moved down to Charlotte. When he moved down to Charlotte, he started doing some the summer shootout. Summer shootout back then. I think it was like Bojangles. Bojangles is one, but I can't remember the very first one.
I can't remember. I remember watching on Speed Channel.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But no, Steve Post was doing a lot of stuff, and man, it's cool to have him in the full circle that we're at, because, again, when I moved to Charlotte, I stayed with Steve for about a week or two while my apartment was getting ready in 2000, and then when he had his kids, my mom and dad used to babysit their kids. So here we are in Florence Motor Speedway 2025 as Steve Post with our main host. With that, Steve told me he'd really like to have a good driver analyst. You know, I asked him, I said, you know, who would you like to see be co-hosting with you that would make this show bigger and better than it could be? Yep. And he said, man, I really want to have a driver analyst that I could bounce off of. Somebody that maybe was in the race, somebody that has been a part of racing and seen all the areas of it. So him and I kind of went back and forth, and you know, this guy and that guy, and somehow I don't know how I forgot to call this person in the first place, but Stephen Parsons, a longtime Myrtle Beach racer, Xfinity. He's run Cup. He's running truck,
and he's ran late models for a long time. He knows these cars,
and he ran here.
Yep.
In a late model stock. So Stephen Parsons is going to be his driver analyst as far as in the tower. So for the 125 Icebreaker laps, you're going to have Steve Post and Stephen Parsons in the tower.
Steve Post and her story in himself and the Parsons name.
Oh,
in racing history,
especially around here.
Oh yeah,
you know, yep. With Benny being a part of this. this area.
Kevin's still coming.
Kevin's still coming running here. So, you know, it's super cool to have those two. And then to also add in James Pike on pit road. So James Pike has been a part of the Flow Racing broadcast. He does a great job when it comes to getting you the information on time.
I think he kind of took over that the debacle that happened in November when there were some technical difficulties here and there. James Pike went on a trailer with one single camera and just broadcasted it from the trailer, like an old fan or a spotter or a crew chief just looking around, following left to right.
Yep.
Like he just took it over his own accord. Yep. It was just pretty neat.
So, and we're can't be more excited about the cast we've got scheduled for Ultra Broadcasting for the Icebreaker. Brian and I had a chance to kind of take a minute and talk to Steve Post about the upcoming race. So enjoy Steve Post. He's in Philadelphia right now. Brian is not a huge fan of that as a Commanders fan, but Steve is in Philadelphia, and we had a chance to catch up with him. So enjoy this footage. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we were able to announce it earlier, and man, I know I'm super excited. I know Brian is.
Oh, for sure.
We're joined by our head announcer for the Icebreaker, Steve Post. Welcome to the show, Steve Post.
Man, it is great to catch up with you, Steve. Really, really cool. Here, I'm at the trade show in Philadelphia. I've got antique cars and really cool cars here, but glad to jump on and talk about it because I'm so excited about the Icebreaker and what we're going to be able to do on the broadcast. It's going to just be awesome.
Absolutely. And so the one thing that I thought would be fun for the fans as we get this out there, Brian and I already talked about it a little bit, but our past I think is unique, right? Like so how we got together, your support of Florence Motor Speedway, my family, but it goes from way, way back. And so to see us kind of land in this position is incredible for both of us.
Yeah, it really, truly is. I mean, we go back to upstate New York. I mean, I watched your dad race and your grandfather race up at Shangri-La Speedway. And then me and my ex-wife kind of moved to North Carolina, and somewhere around the same time your mom and dad did. And we started having kids, and your mom and dad babysat my daughters. And really, really cool. And then to see you through all of your growing up and getting into it. And then when you took over Florence Motor Speedway, I have such a thing for reviving short tracks and bringing racetracks back. And what you've done at Florence has been great. I've loved getting down there. And so when the opportunity came to get on a pay-per-view broadcast and tell a little bit about the story of Florence Motor Speedway, I jumped all over it because what you're doing with our history, I'm just really excited about what we're going to do for the Icebreaker.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. People don't realize we've talked about a little bit on this podcast is that you know, the things we're going to do behind the scenes to make this the greatest broadcast you've seen in a long time. And we were talking about it with James Pike on pit road, doing his thing like he always does, and then having Stephen Parsons as your driver analyst. You know, I think that's a good start for what we're trying to do with Ultra Broadcasting. I think it's going to be a great show for the Icebreaker. And, you know, we're just proud to have your name and your brand a part of our racetrack, and we can't thank you enough.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it for the racers. One of the things I've learned, and this is whether it's my NASCAR coverage or Legends or Millbridge or whatever I do, I love all of the racers and telling the stories of the racers. And so as the race unfolds, if someone's running up at the front of the field and maybe we don't, not all that familiar with, I plan to get there on Friday and just kind of get up to speed with it. So for the racers, we want to tell the story. The guys and gals racing these cars is what it's all about. We'll tell the story of the race and that'll play out in front of us and maybe tell the stories of a few of the drivers as we roll along with it. This sport is all about our drivers and all about our racers, and I appreciate the opportunity to do this with the pay-per-view because you've got some great racers that are signed up and registered are going to be there for all the divisions on Icebreaker Saturday. And I just can't wait to tell some of the stories and then tell the story of the race, tell the story of the racetrack. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. We'll let you go, but just know, number one, we're at 26 signed up, pre-registered right now, and we imagine we're going to be in the 30s. So another great show. Having you as the host is going to be make it even better. So thank you for joining us real quick on Tap, and we hope you enjoy yourself in Philadelphia. Stay warm. I'm sure it's not great up there temperature-wise. And
Commanders are coming in this week.
Yeah, Brian's a Commanders fan, so the Washington fans will be there in full force.
It's been fascinating coming up here. And honestly, when I left, come up here Thursday or whatever day it was, the temperature in Charlotte was not much different than here. I think by the time the weekend ends, I think it's going to be much better in Charlotte. But yeah, Philadelphia is a buzz up here. I love what the Commanders are doing. So Brian, I love what your team is doing, and we'll see what happens. But Brian, Stephen, I love what you're doing on Tap as well. I love the program, and it's cool to be part of it here this afternoon.
Absolutely. So I'll say go Bills. And you have a good rest of your trip.
Absolutely. We got the Commanders. We got the Bills. What about my Carolina Panthers? Oh, we won't see them play in January for a long, long time.
I was getting ready to say, I will say, Steve, thank you, because Sean McDermott, Brendan Bean, our main staff for Buffalo has come from the Panthers, and we do appreciate that.
Yeah, and Brian, we gave you Frankie Louvu as well, and he's tearing it up there too. So yeah, we're distributing, we're sharing the wealth. We have no wealth for us, but we're sharing it with everybody else, and it's cool. That's kind of the beauty of being a Panthers fan. We get the month of January off. We just get to become a general football fan. So
we're also full
that's
circle.
My story, and I'm sticking to it.
Full circle. I think Curtis Samuel came from you guys to us. Now he's at Buffalo, so he's going maybe going to the Super Bowl as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Sounds good, Brian and Steve. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve Post, our host for the Icebreaker. We'll be right back after this. All right, Steve Post, man, how cool is that? That he's going to be here announcing the Icebreaker.
Yep. Oh, it's really cool. I mean, like I said, I've heard his voice for years, and then meeting him, coming back, joining on board with you guys, it's pretty special. Like, Steve Post is going to do a phenomenal job.
Yep. And he talked about he's going to be here Friday. He's already doing research.
He does too, man. Like, in November, he just walks the pits. You'll see him in the back with the support divisions, talking to them guys, hearing their history, where they're from. He will touch on every aspect of the racing there is.
Yep, and he loves every minute of it. So you heard in that post, though, with the postman, that, man, the Washington Buffalo, what a weekend we've got ahead of us, huh? So we're praying, Brian and I both are hoping that we're going to get to a point where it's 1991 all over again.
Through its entirety.
Yep. Well, no.
Yeah?
No, not so much.
That's not what I said.
I've texted Dale, and I told him, I said, I hope you guys make the Super Bowl, just like I've told you, but I would like a different outcome, because my last outcome did not go well, and I don't know if you remember, but it didn't go well the next year, or the next year, or the next year.
Yeah.
So, as a Buffalo fan, I will say that, today is Morgan's 19th birthday, and with that is makes Leanne, I do that because I have to go backwards, that makes Leanne coming up in March 17, and she's enjoyed being a Buffalo fan in the good times.
Yeah, I had the luxury coming to your house this past weekend that game, which, now had Washington lost, I probably wouldn't have came over. I would have been pretty bitter, but coming over there Sunday night and watching them beat Baltimore, which, I mean, Baltimore didn't help their selves, I will say.
No.
But it was pretty rewarding to see how avid of a fan Leanne is.
Yeah. $90,000 the Bills sent to Mark Andrews' diabetes organization. Yep. So, and that happened too when the first year we made it with Sean McDermott, when my brother and I were in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. And that was when we beat the Dolphins. And then Andy Dalton ended up throwing that touchdown against the Ravens.
That's right. Yep.
And got the, I think it was to Boyd, and they scored the touchdown, which ended up beating the Ravens, which then put us in the playoffs for the first time in however many years. We ended up sending, I think it was like $170,000.
Bills Mafia, man.
Every 13, I think it was, because what was his number? 13? No, there was 13 seasons we had been out of it. Whatever it was. Yeah. Anyways.
Jimmy Neutron. Dalton, what was his name? 14. He was 14.
Oh, 14, that's right. Yeah. But we sent a bunch of money to them and to their foundation. But man, super excited about the weekend. Glad it's a 6:30 game for us because I just can't handle those eight o'clock games. But
unfortunately, my sleeping schedule is a little bit different than yours. Well, so I'm going to be up through its entirety. I'm gonna watch it all because I'm an avid fan. But I don't think I'll be in a good mood. I mean, if you listen to ESPN and experts, I mean, they give us no chance to win. But then again, this past weekend, they gave us no chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we surprised everybody.
Well, and I think that I told you earlier is that as a fan, you almost don't want them to give you credit.
No, no. You want to be the underdog.
You want to be the underdog because when you have the ability to be the team, which, I mean, I will say that as much as I want to hate on Kansas City and as much as I want to hate on Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, man, they're good.
They're good. Andy Reid. They're well coached. Andy Reid, and I'm still just taken back all the time. Why does Steve Spagnuolo never get – he's never interviewing. Mm. He's, like, just setting his role. Yeah. I'm going to be the defensive coordinator at Kansas City. That's all I want.
Yeah, I think you and I have talked about this too, is that, like, a good – like, Trubisky, right? Like, he's enjoying life right now. Like, at some point, you tried to be a head coach and right. You tried to be a quarterback, and at some point, would it be nice to just be a guy that makes a couple hundred grand – just to sit on the sidelines and do nothing?
I'm here for that.
So I think Spagnuolo.
Which he was on, I think he was on the Giants staff under Coughlin when they last won.
Correct, yeah. But I think he's just enjoying life. Like, man, this is cool. Like, we're going to the Super Bowl every year. I'm a good defensive coordinator. So I just think there's a certain point. Like, I think McDermott's like it, the Reeds. Like, there's certain people that are just good at being leaders, and there's good people that are good at being defensive
coordinators.
Which
I think they've also set the tone, man. Like, Buffalo this year, I mean, granted, Josh Allen's amazing, and they got Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper, we talked about it Sunday night, he's not doing too much.
No.
In Washington, you got Jaden Daniels, and who else you got? Terry McLaurin, yes.
Right.
On defense, well, you got Lattimore now, but they just have shown in Kansas City – I mean, even when they had Tyreek Hill, he was good. Tyreek Hill left. They were going to demolish. They just stay relevant all the time.
Yeah.
That's what a well-coached team will do.
Yep. And I think to your season, this has been my life for the last handful of years, is that as much as I know our team, Josh Allen, the James Cooks, like, I know we have a good team, but you don't know. You go into the weekend thinking, oh, we should win this, but you don't know that. Right, like so it's nerve wracking because
we're already on borrowed time. Like, we shouldn't even make the playoffs. Yeah, right. We're a 4-win team last year, so the fact that we even made the playoffs is a win in itself.
But so, like, going into this weekend, like everyone signed us off when we got to this year or got into the beginning of the season. But now it's like, oh man, like, I'm going to this weekend and I'm comfortable, but I'm uncomfortable. I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, you're 11 versus 18 every time you
set
the field.
So but that's one thing. In against the Chiefs in the playoffs. We're 3-1, and in the regular season we're 4-0. So it's hard to, but and then Josh plays his tail off, and then all of a sudden it comes down to a coin toss, or it comes down to something crazy that is out of his
7 players that
or 13 seconds
wear white and black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's 11 versus 18. Yeah, that could be a thing. Which I'm not looking forward to that myself. I think this weekend we got Sean Hockley. Ed Hockley's son,
yep.
Which last time he coached a Washington game was when they just stopped the clock, when New Orleans was going to tie the game up. That's cool.
So, long story short, when it comes to the end of this weekend, this might be our final episode, because if Washington loses and Buffalo loses, we're out. And
talking about podcast or are we talking about live? Because kind of put all my
But if Buffalo and Washington win, we're checking out also, because we're not paying attention.
Icebreaker is officially canceled.
Yeah, we're canceling the icebreaker, and we're focusing on Buffalo, Washington, 1991.
We might run the icebreaker on Monday, and one of us will be here and one of us will not be.
That's right. Oh, shoot. All right, so football aside, obviously.
Of course, I know your history, but why are you a Bills fan? Because everybody sees you down south.
Yeah.
They don't know your history. Like, where are you from?
So Steve Post talked about it. And I come originally from upstate New York, just on the border of Pennsylvania and New York, and raced up there for my entire life. My family is from up there. And when we were up there, I had friends that were all Bills fans and Mets fans as a kid. And I've been a Bills and a Mets fan since I can remember. We were about 3 hours south of Buffalo. And, man, I went to some Bills games back in the day in 1990, 97, I believe it was. Flutie. I went
Flutie, right?
No, 97 was still coming out. It was like Rob Johnson. Okay. Flutie was in the like late 2000s. But went to some Bills games with some friends that I used to bowl with, because that's what we do in New York, is we either bowl or race. Yeah, so I've just been a Bills fan my entire life since I was born in 1981. And from the last time I can remember, I was a Buffalo Bills fan. And I've lived through the Jim Kelly days. I kind of missed, thankfully, the O.J. Simpson days. Which, running back-wise, O.J. Simpson was the main.
He ran away from the New Days, too.
Yeah, in a Ford Bronco. In a Ford Bronco. But O.J. Simpson, though, was the man when it came to actually like running a football. But it's fun right now. I told you, and I told my neighbor. My neighbors are Commanders fans, and I pray that Jaden Daniels is this way, or as some people like to call him, Jalen Daniels.
Yeah, I think it would be Maurice Chestnut this past week on Good Morning Football.
But Jaden Daniels, like, you don't get good quarterback. You don't get Josh Allen's all the time.
Oh, no.
Like in our lifetime, we've had Jim Kelly, Josh Allen. Like, those are the two.
We had a glimpse in 2012 at RG3, and then in the playoffs in 2012, RG3 blew out his knee.
Yeah.
So,
which, by the way, Alex Smith, that was. Ugh.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that knee.
Speaking of blowing out knees. Rough, yeah. Anyways. Off of football, because we hope to come back celebrating.
What I was getting at here on this nice podcast we have here, keyword podcast.
Not serious.
You moved from New York to North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you met some people
in
North Carolina. One of them would be our next guest.
Yeah, Joe Malish.
Well, there. Spoiler alert, there he is. That's our next guest.
Sorry.
Continue on.
No, so Joe Malish and I, we met each other in 2004. While I was running Thunder Roadsters, and we're gonna have a chance. Joe jumped on board this year with Topper Media, and he's stepped our game up.
Man, he's elevated us to a whole new level. I thought I was doing some good stuff last season, and just putting the results up. And hey, we got a cool little flyer, but now it's like every day we have something coming up on social media, which that takes a lot of time and effort.
Oh yeah,
and he does just a tremendous job of keeping up on everything.
Absolutely. So we're going to have a chance now to hear from Joe. So stay tuned. Enjoy this little interview with Joe and Topper Media. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Joe Malish with Topper Media. Joe Malish has been a huge part of all that we've done over the last pretty much 2 years. And you know, a social media presence, making us look bigger than we are, our online race stuff, and doing all the images for that have been amazing. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome Joe Malish. Joe Malish, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's going to be a good time this year. You and I have been working tirelessly on Ultra Broadcasting and trying to make sure that we're ready for the season. But just real quick, kind of take a step back and tell everybody what Topper Media is and how you got to this point with Topper Media.
Yeah, I mean, basically it started out, you know, covering NASCAR, IndyCar, and NHRA over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And then from that, with my background in marketing, it kind of evolved into more with website design. I think we've done three websites with Florence, Ultra, and the Ultra Racing Association. So it's a little bit of everything: advertising, video production, just anything and everything that would entail marketing, kind of a one-stop shop for all of it. And, you know, about a year ago, it was actually this summer, I decided to leave my job and do this full time because I started getting more and more clients that were coming on board. And it's been a lot of fun, and it has been a wide open week. It just never seems like there's a dull moment with anything that's going on right now.
Yeah, and for those that have been on social media, we talked about at the beginning of the podcast that you know, a lot of talk about not being on certain broadcasts or not being on certain streaming devices. But for those that end up tuning into Ultra Broadcasting's broadcast of the Icebreaker, it's going to be incredible. I'm telling you, Joe and I have worked, you know, very hard to get to the point where I think when you're done watching it, you're going to say, man, that was worth my time. That was worth the effort and be very appreciative of what we put out.
Well, I think we now put more focus on Joe, too. Joe, now there's a face to the name. There's a face to all the work that's been put in behind the scenes by yourself. So coming to icebreaker time, you might have a lot of people coming up. So just thank you, because the social media presence is above and beyond from what it used to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I we talk about it often. You know, my background, just working for Speedway Motorsports with U.S. Legend Cars out in Vegas, and then from there working for Robbie Gordon, and especially with him, just the understanding of brand presence and how you put your mark on that is just so important to do. And then being a marketing manager at Mahle Motorsport and dealing with all the different things that I did there with digital media, publishing, press releases, whatever it is, it just translated over into what I'm doing now with the track and now with Ultra. That, you know, one of the things I thought about with Ultra Broadcasting was, can we bring back kind of that feel of 1990s ESPN NASCAR coverage, where they would go in and you would know every storyline that's going on at the racetrack that weekend, whether it was the guy that was running in the front or the guy that was running in the back. They all have a story. You know, I think next week I plan on going and interviewing Alan Huffman. I want to hear about his story about, you know, his trailer got stolen. We raised some funds to help him out. It was eventually recovered, but he lost his tools. I want to tell that story. You know, I want to tell the story about these different drivers that are out there and then tie in their sponsors to it and make it free on Ultra Broadcasting to where that driver can go on there and take that and send it to their sponsor to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is your return on investment. This is who we're racing in front of. This is who's viewing in. And that's all part of it, because in racing, if you don't have sponsors, or if you're a racetrack and you don't have sponsorship and you can't tie in earn on investment, you're going to be out of business or you're not going to be racing. And whether you're a big team, a little team, whatever it is, we want to try to present that to people so that way they have something they can take with them and hopefully get more sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, when it comes to Ultra Broadcasting, your back end, like Brian said, I know your goal when you came aboard last year was to make us look like a NASCAR track, to be like Charlotte Motor Speedways, to be better than Charlotte Motor Speedways, to be better than Phoenix, and you've done that. So we're super thankful for you, for Topper Media, and if anyone's out there that's interested in any kind of social media presence, whether it's a driver for the Legend Car Series, it's a late model driver, if it's a racetrack, Joe is available and willing to help out. So Joe, on behalf of myself and Brian, we just want to thank you for all you've done for us. And we look forward to Ultra Broadcasting and what the future holds for all of us.
I really appreciate being on here, guys. And thank you. And I'm really looking forward to this year, especially February 8th with the Icebreaker. That'll be broadcast on Ultra Broadcasting. It's going to be a great show. Got a lot of top competition that's going to be in that race. And it's going to be something that people are going to want to tune into or buy a ticket to and see it in person.
Absolutely. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joe Malish with Topper Media. We'll be right back with some more On Tap.
At Bell & Bell GMC, family is more than just a name. It's our tradition. Since 1960, W.C. Bell has been dedicated to serving our customers and community with integrity and care. Now we have three generations of the Bell family working for you with the same values, ensuring you get the best service every time you visit. Come be a part of the Bell & Bell family today, where tradition drives us and you. Bell & Bell GMC, where family tradition meets excellence.
Welcome back. We just had a chance to listen to Joe Malish kind of talk in a small form of what Topper Media and our relationship is. For those that are in the broadcast or have subscribed, we've had a few already subscribe before we ever got to the Icebreaker. If you're a subscriber of Ultra Broadcasting, you will get On Tap for free. If you want to get the behind-the-scenes stuff and you want to be on the back end of all of the stuff we have to give you, it's going to be on the subscription side.
Yep. Bonus content, R rating, everything. Like, yeah. Obviously, I have a potty mouth and I get bleeped out.
Which we're also getting ready to shortly add in a podcast that the conversation between myself, Brian, and the podcast creator of our new episode is to be more like a Joe Rogan episode where there's no holds barred. Everyone just says what they want.
I don't know if I can talk that long. I talk a lot. And yeah. I like to hear myself talk, but Joe Rogan is pretty long.
Yeah. So, well, we're not going to go that long, but as far as the way they speak. So okay. they're planning on speaking
so
openly.
So invest in Merriam-Webster Dictionary to learn some big words. Got it.
Yeah, correct.
Cool. Got it.
So we talked about Joe. We talked about Ultra Broadcasting. It's something that, we talked about the idea that episode one really kind of felt like for two people that don't like to stir up a whole lot, it felt like we stirred up quite a bit.
Yep.
Between the NASCAR non-sanction, not going to the streaming platforms that are out there and doing our own thing. Everyone had questions. I guess the first thing I'd say, you know, kind of just candid, is I got a lot of questions and text messages. Are you going to make more money? That was one conversation that came up.
They sure know how to cut to the core of it.
Yeah. And so my thing is, why would we do it if it's not going to make more money, right? Like, or at least the same amount of money. So when it comes to this Ultra Broadcasting, we just want to see as a racetrack, because we're the ones putting the effort in. We're working our tails off to put on a good good product for somebody to broadcast. Why can't we broadcast it?
And I think there's just so many avenues that we wanted to explore as well. Like Joe touched on it. Like, you want to know everyone that's racing. You just want to follow the lead battle the whole race. So we want to hear, like ESPN used to do in the 90s, and he just said, every position matters. These guys are taking their hard-earned money, their hard-earned time, coming out here and racing with us, so why not explore every bit of there is?
Yep. Yeah, so, but listening to everyone, like in like Brian said, the episode one, it's hard for us to not look at it. You know, I don't post on social media, but I do look at it, right? Like, so we go back and we read everyone's comments, and sometimes they get frustrating because we work so hard to make sure that the product we're giving you is top-notch, and whether you're on property or not. And and I get that Flo has done a great job, and they were great to us, no different than NASCAR was. Kevin, Brett, all of them, Emma, everybody at NASCAR was great to us, and we're not sitting here and bad-mouthing NASCAR. We're not sitting here and bad-mouthing Flo. We're just saying we'd like to see what it looks like on our own without them, and just kind of like it's like turning 18 as an adult or as a child. You're 18. Yep. I want to go out in the world, and I want to see what it looks
like.
There's
a whole world there. Let's explore it.
Yep. So we're not talking bad about them, but at the same time, you know, I think the one thing I took from social media that I saw was everyone saying, "Oh, well, it was we were starting to head in the right direction with short track racing on Flow." Because everyone got the convenience of being able to watch it at their own leisure. But at the same time, that doesn't help this racetrack that pays its rent, pays its electric bill, because you get to watch it off of one bill.
Yep. Man, streaming and the platforms that it offers now has taken a whole new light on the world. And that's just where we are nowadays. But if you put yourself back, it's like we talked about ESPN, Joe touched on it in the 90s, you didn't have any of this. Like, you pick and choose which tracks you want to go watch, and that's, you put all your eggs in one basket. And we're not saying to do that now, but, I mean, you might be subscribed to all these different platforms, but, like, pick and choose here. Like, if you know that you want to watch Florence and you want to watch Southern National and we're going to branch out, it's going to be more in the future, maybe subscribe to this one. Maybe if you're not a Dirt fan, unsubscribe to Dirt Vision. I'm not telling you to do that by any means.
Right.
But, everyone's spoiled by where the world is nowadays.
Of course. In our deal, just so everyone knows, Ultra Broadcasting, everything on our platform will be free to you. Free to you as far as once you've subscribed, so the purchase of your subscription, everything inside that the back wall is going to be available to you. Southern National, Florence Races, like we talked about, the back end, the on-tap stuff.
Bonus content.
Bonus content.
I'm telling you right now, and we touched on it with him, Joe is going to go above and beyond.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he's passionate about this, just like you and myself are as well. He's going to get them interviews. He might even give you away secrets. I mean, he's going to go in them shops. He's going to have that camera, and he's going to look where maybe they don't want him to look at it, but he's just that big of a fan. He wants everyone to know the diehard work that these guys put in each and every week to come to the track.
Yep. And the only time that it'll kind of change up and we'll do a huge discount is the big races, right? The 400, the Thanksgiving Classic. Those are events that somebody might not subscribe but wants to watch that event. Right. But we will make sure that we honor and you know, say thanks to the people that have subscribed throughout the year. So, again, Ultra Broadcasting, we talked about it in episode one, is that it's confusing. We really don't know what it means.
Some people like change, some people don't.
Yeah.
They will adapt.
Yeah. But we're going to put the you're going to if you subscribe and you purchase that race, I promise you will not be disappointed in the product you've been given. So we're looking forward to it. But with that, the icebreaker is getting bigger. We've talked about it last week or last episode. Is that the icebreaker? You and I see this icebreaker as something different than everyone else does because it's a creation that we started.
We never saw it 11 years ago to what it is today.
Right. So today we get to announce our primary sponsor being CitrusSafe. CitrusSafe is going to be the presenting sponsor for the icebreaker for 2025. We had a chance to kind of step back, talk to Tommy Lancaster with CitrusSafe. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Cup Series stuff, our stuff, Victory Lane. So let's take a minute and let's hear from Tommy and CitrusSafe. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here on tap. We're here with Tommy Lancaster with CitrusSafe. We spoke about it at the beginning of the show. Super excited to have them a part of Victory Lane for 2025. They were there for the 400. And now they're going to be a presenting sponsor of the Icebreaker. So, Tommy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, and so, Tommy, I'm noticing what's above your head right there? What you got? Look, what kind of point we got there?
Oh, well, one of the things I love to do, too, is to hunt. And I like to display my trophies where I spend more of my time, which is in my office rather than the house. So
I get that, hence why we're here at the racetrack and not at home with our families, but it's all good. And man, congratulations on everything that's going on with CitrusSafe. The momentum you guys have right now is incredible with Burt Myers and what's going on with the cup car. And man, how cool is it to have CitrusSafe on top of a cup car at Bowman Gray Stadium coming up here in just a week or so?
Oh, like I said, it's very surreal for me. I'm a huge NASCAR fan. I have been my whole life, and to enjoy what we did yesterday with unveiling the livery that's on the car. And you know, we've been with Burt now for many years, and to do this with him means a lot to us as well. So, yeah, I'm just kind of speechless, but yes, pretty surreal.
Yeah, congratulations. And so we gave out a bunch of your product, and I actually gave out some to my neighbors, and everyone mentions that they've seen it, they know about it. You've made a good name, and you're a staple now in short track racing, and we're just proud to be a part of CitrusSafe and what you got going on. But as far as who we're trying to sell to and who we're trying to get to, what is our clientele with CitrusSafe?
Well, anybody that owns a grill, which I think is probably 95% of the population of the country, I think. It's created from a grill shop that my dad started back in 1998, and just grew it from there.
That's awesome. And I know, and we'll talk about it here, we're a new podcast. We're kind of starting off from the ground and trying to get to a great place. We actually had a conversation that did not make it because of some technical difficulties. But the story you told about your brother, yourself, your dad, all the things you guys have done to get to this point, super encouraging for those that have businesses that work their tail off day in and day out to make a small project into a big project. I give you guys credit for everything you did, and we're definitely, you know, one thing we're going to do this year on our Ultra Broadcasting, on all of our broadcasts, our podcasts, is to shine a light on our partners, CitrusSafe, and make sure that everyone understands, man, this is not a sport, and this is not a business that we've got all these big corporate sponsors, the Apples of the world and the Teslas of the world. We've got guys, you know, guys that are out there that made something out of nothing like yourselves. And we want to make sure that everyone understands, like, we're just mom and pops that are doing the best we can and trying to make a product that's good for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell a little bit about our story. We started in my dad's grill shop in 1998, and our ambition was, my brother's ambition was, just to have something non-toxic to sell to our grill customers. And we had three stores in North Carolina, and like I said, our ambition was just to provide something for those customers that was non-toxic, and it just kind of grew legs from there. That was over 20 years ago. So now we've grown to probably somewhere near 12,000 locations across the country.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I said, my wife and I, we love to hear stories like that, because for those that don't understand how it feels to start a business, it's sleepless nights, trying to rub a nickel together to make it all work, and you know, it's tough. But to see a success story like yourselves, and just to be a friend and a partner in Citrus Safe, we're honored. And we look forward to what the future holds. We've got the upcoming modified race. We're the first Smart Tour event of the year, which is going to be our Zach Brewer Memorial. So I'm sure Bert's going to be here, and I hopefully you'll be here.
I will. I plan to be there with bells on, so I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, our 2025 Victory Lane sponsor, our presenting sponsor for the Icebreaker, Tommy Lancaster and Citrus Safe, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait to see it all, and we're very proud to be a part of it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll see you on the other side of the break. Thank you for joining us on tap.
Communication is key in the racing world. When it comes to at-the-track communications, there is only one place to call. Racing Electronics is the number one source for professional race communications worldwide. Over 20 years in the business proves their dedication to the sport. With every driver and crew communication, two-way radios and headsets, scanners and more, Racing Electronics is a one-stop communication source for all your motorsports needs. Before the green flag flies, make sure you have all your team communication gear from Racing Electronics. Stop by and see a Racing Electronics representative at the track near you. Visit their showroom in Concord, North Carolina, or order online at racingelectronics.com.
All right, welcome back. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Citrus Safe, for being a part of the Icebreaker in this year, 2025, 10th annual. Man, it's crazy to think 10 years of the Icebreaker. Again, just stepping back and looking at it, I'm telling you, and I guess it doesn't matter now that I say this, Bob would not have appreciated that we were in his office drinking beer, talking about making this happen, but he doesn't pay us anymore.
Some pretty good scores on Wii Bowling.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? Just tossing it.
Yeah.
Strike.
So we bought a Wii video game, like Nintendo Wii. Wii, right? And for a while there in the off season, while we were being paid by Bob Lutz, we actually just played Wii and came up with cool ideas like the Icebreaker, and the Icebreaker turned. But I will say, I had the most 300s.
I had the first one. For me, but you were actually an actual bowler. But it was pretty cool that we printed it out and we had it posted on the wall until we knew Bob was coming.
We had average.
Oh, take it down. Take it down.
We did. We had averages.
We had a spreadsheet.
Yeah, we had a whole spreadsheet. Yeah. But we were supposed to be working. But we did.
It's cold outside.
It's cold out. It's cold in here.
That's no
it's
joke.
It's freezing in here.
Wish I would have brought my toboggan back this week.
But yeah, so the Icebreaker comes to you 10 years later, just from a bunch of race fans that made something happen, right?
To Tommy's point, too, I mean, them being presenting sponsors is amazing. And I know he's excited for the cup deal at Bowman Gray, which I know Bert is definitely excited. And that video is pretty cool. Like, Bert's sitting there between cup car or modified, which I'm passionate about for many, many years. And he chose the cup car. I mean, as would any of us that's been racing our whole entire lives. Like, we all have passions to pursue a cup career, correct?
Yep. Oh, wow. We have the passion, whether we have the ability or the finances, but we
on
definitely
iRacing,
have
the, we all do.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played iRacing in a minute. But yeah, no, it's super cool to have Citrus Safe and somebody that's, we talked about at the end of our first episode that you can't, we don't feel you can beat our passion for the sport. But to partner up with people that have the same passion, Citrus Safes, Cookout, you know, when we do, when we deal with them, our Bell and Bells, Aaron's, you know, all of our Coastal Marine, all of our sponsors that we do have, they have the same same passion for what we have, and they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they feel like is right to keep the sport going.
I mean, I feel like sometimes it's our cutting our own armor. We're not going out there and pursuing these sponsors. We're just like nose down, steady working, making the best product we possibly can, and then them guys are coming to our big races.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, we land a pretty good sponsor.
Yep.
But we just, I mean, we should probably take the time away to look out for these guys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so episode two, I think episode one really kind of turned out pretty good, to the point where now, we talked about it a second ago, we're on the major platforms of podcasts.
It is a podcast.
It is actually a podcast.
And apparently we must be doing something, making some money, because I got a nice little mic. Yeah,
Brian's upgraded his mic. Nice. He's gotten a sticker on his his
you
mug.
Actually upgraded your
mug. I upgraded my mug, glass. So so that's
so much more room for activities in yep, here.
Go Bills. Nice. We brought in a laptop or a tablet that we didn't use. Nope. In case you're wondering, besides the sticker on the other side, it's black over here. You see nothing. So yep. Every week that we do stuff, whether it's racing or podcasts, every week that we do something, it's going to be better. It's going to get more interesting. I think this week with having our first ever interviews, our live interviews, and having Steve Post and having Tommy and having Joe. That's
we're going places.
Well, I don't know where
we're going. We might actually power this on next week.
Yeah. don't you tempt me. But no, it's cool. Like I said, this podcast, I keep saying, wanting to say platform or series, this podcast is meant to be where we can just run our mouths, right? Like not saying anything.
Injury is pretty important.
Which is a big deal. But
all nutrients essential for human life is all in a beer. So.
But we just want to have a place that we can talk to you guys. Hope you enjoy it when it's all said and done. But right now, Ultra Broadcasting, this is on Ultra Broadcasting. We've got another podcast I think you're going to enjoy. The racing's coming up. We're only 2 weeks as of tomorrow. We'll be at the Icebreaker. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
We might want to stop doing this and get to work. We might
actually want to go mount tires and stuff.
Yeah.
But, man, it's cool to have you guys here. We appreciate your time. I know it takes a minute to... you know, step back and find a chance to watch something like this or have to listen to it. But we do appreciate your time, and we hope you enjoyed our moment on tap.